Thank you, God, that you are who you are. You deserve all honor and glory. Thank you that you are the chain breaker, that you are the rescuer. Lord, that you are an amazing God. Thank you that whatever we need, you are there, and that you came searching for us. You said, "Where are you?" Help us to say, "Here I am, Lord. Here I am." And let us speak his name in the way that it's meant to be spoken, as a beautiful name, as a powerful name, as a wonderful name. And when your name is on our lips, Lord, you working in us and through us can do anything. Jesus. More. We can not just anything, we can do more than we can possibly imagine.
Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You are beautiful.
Jesus.
What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Spirit of God, just continue to do what you're doing here and there around this place. Let's just pray. Spirit of God, just do what you're doing. Spirit of God, just continue to do what you're doing all over this sanctuary. Lord, in pockets here and pockets there, your Spirit is moving today. The Spirit of God is breaking the chains that we sang about. The Spirit of God is bringing the freedom that we talked about. The Spirit of God is manifesting himself in
the
house of
you.
God.
You're the God of miracles.
Yes,
we believe in him.
Yes.
He's the God of miracles. Go!
Hallelujah.
I believe in you, Lord. I believe in you. I'm not a miracle.
What is the miracle that you need today? Is it a financial miracle? Is it a physical miracle? Is it an emotional miracle? He's the God of miracles. Oh, we believe in you, Lord. You're the God of miracles. Look to the Word of God. Just get your Bibles if you could, and we're going to open up to 1 Corinthians. Just get into 1 Corinthians, and then we'll go from there. All right? We'll just get that general area. Go to have a word of prayer. Woo! Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for what you've already done at the altar. Here in this service today. We thank you, Lord, what you've already done in the hearts of people in the pew and in the back room, Father God, and downstairs. Lord, we're thankful for the individuals that you've brought here into the house of God today, because today is going to be the day of their miracle, and maybe it already has. By faith, it already has, yes, because it's been already paid for. Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single soul that is here in this place. Because, God, you have brought them specially here for such a time as this. Lord, we do need your encouragement. We do live in a wicked world. We do live in a challenging culture. And, Father God, we need to gather together as the body of Jesus Christ. And we need to be strengthened by the word and strengthened by the worship. And we may have exactly that word which somebody else needs. Help us, Father God, not to keep it but to share it for the strength of the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, and as I preach the Word of God today, I pray that the Spirit of the living God, which is so heavily present here already today, would just continue to take the Word of God and to teach us and to lead us into the deep things of God. For we ask it in the name of Jesus, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I have an idea of what being clean is. We all have our ideas of what being clean and what being dirty is. My wife and I have two different ideas about what is clean and what is dirty. And so you have to ask more questions to get at what she's actually meaning when she says to me, "Is that shirt dirty?" Because I will inevitably say no. So there has to be a follow-up question such as, "How many days have you worn that shirt?" Or another question, did you wear that shirt working in the bush? Or some other kind of thing to define her understanding and my understanding of what it is to be clean or to be dirty. Well, we also have our own ideas. Our own ideas of what it is to be clean. You know, in our culture today, to be clean often is a reference to addictions and issues. You hear that terminology now, those that are not have not been part of that, maybe culture or world or whatever else. Maybe that's new to them, but that's one way of looking at being clean, being free from addiction. Our brother said he was been clean for so many days. Well, referring to using. But when God says he wants something to be clean, we sometimes have so much of our own ideas of what it means to be clean that we get it confused with our culture or with our upbringing or our religious background or whatever it may be. And so in the next number of weeks, actually, I was only going to do it for today, but you know what, I ain't going to get to it. So, you know, it's going to be a series, I guess, on the temple and on cleansing the temple as a part of our Lenten series. Some people have an idea of what is clean and dirty in reference to some deed, whether it's biblical, whether it's a certain sin, one of the big ten, we've got those now, whether it's something of a lifestyle, something of a way of thinking. But actually, when we start looking at the temple, There are three levels of looking at the temple I want to begin to introduce today. And number one is the original temple, and that is the cleansing of the temple. And we have Old Testament ideas, Old Testament pictures and examples of the cleansing of the temple. And nothing that was done in the Old Testament was without purpose. It all speaks to the New Covenant. And so you have initially that Old Testament temple, to which I have a picture of Solomon's temple up there at our very beginning. But then there is also the body, the temple, body of Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, not the physical buildings, but the collective body of Jesus Christ, not only in one location, but also throughout a region or throughout the world. We have the temple. We have the body of Christ. And then right down individually, Paul brings it even further, and we'll talk about that, how that individually we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And all three of these temples have all the similar features, and what speaks to one speaks to them all, because God is a God of order. And he sets these things and establishes these principles and precepts. But this morning we're going to start with the original. You got to start with the original, because the original is the example and it speaks to all the other kinds of temple. So we're going to look at beginning the Temple of Solomon, or the biblical temple, the Old Testament temple, and find out what does that speak to us today. First of all, we'll look at the temple. I want to look at the purposes of the temple. It's very simple. I went to a book, went to the pastor's it's called the Knaves Topical Bible for Pastors, and looked up temple and said, and here was the purposes of the temple. And it had a bunch listed. And so I didn't do much more study than that. I just said, man, this fits. And so here is the physical temple of the Old Testament. Let's look at these purposes and see how they resound and reside in the other issues of the temple. Number one, the temple was to be, can we read it together? A dwelling place for God. Where God dwells. That's a pretty special spot. All right, the second one, let's read together. A place for the Ark of the Covenant. In other words, the articles which exemplified God's deal with his chosen people. All right? And the third one, maybe I'm getting them too long for you to read together. A place for sweet incense to be offered to Jehovah. So, a place of incense, that which was offered up unto God Almighty, and a place for burnt offerings, that is sacrifice. That was a key part of the temple, was a place where there was sacrifice. All right? Let's read together a house. A house of prayer. Yes, of course. Jesus made that very clear one day when he cleansed the temple and he said, hey, boys, and I'll look at that later on. My house is to be a house of prayer for all nations. Next one, read it together. A place of worship. Oh, didn't we worship the Lord today? Amen. Hallelujah. But that temple, that original temple, was a designated place. A place set aside for worship. Not that you could not worship anywhere in the field. Not that you could not worship in your home. In fact, you were to. In fact, there was very clear scriptures you were even to put on your doorpost of your home. And you were to be able to walk with those scriptures, and you were to be a continual people of worship and a covenant people of worship. But in a special sense, God had designated a place and said it is to be a place of worship. The next one I found very interesting. A place of refuge, sanctuary, from accusation or attack. That is the original temple. There were cities of refuge that were set aside in the Old Testament law, and amongst them, or beside them, was also the temple. It was a place to be free from accusation, false accusation, a place of refuge. Nehemiah could have run to the sanctuary for safety when his enemies were against him, and he said, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to run into the house of God for sanctuary. And then the next one is this interesting one, a place for weapons of warfare, or an armory. There was a provision in the Old Testament temple, where there was an armory was inside of the house of God. Now, you gun lovers, let's not take that too far. But this is the original purposes of God's temple. Now, there may be others, but that's the list that was given. I said, you know, really felt a rhema word in that, a real word that says, yes, that is what my house was to be. So let's look at the second thing. I'm not going to dwell too much because the obvious physical Old Testament temple was what it was, right? Let's turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Actually, I have it written here. The New King James. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. Always like you to see it in your own Bible or your own app because that way it's in front of you. You can make notes on that. Verse 16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, wasn't that the very first purpose of the temple? Wasn't it? And so he speaks to these people, "Do you not know that you are the temple of the Spirit and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." Now, what temple is he referring to in this text of Scripture? Is he referring to the Old Testament temple? Is he referring to the church? Or is he referring to the individual? Well, dualistically, we could say the latter two. And some have interpreted this as only the individual temple, but I believe it is the church of Jesus Christ he is referring to in the primary sense. Remember who it is that he is addressing. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. He says, this is who he is addressing. This is the people that he is speaking to, and therefore we can use the context of this to interpret how we are to look at these other texts. First of all, he says this. This is who I'm writing to. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and to all the saints with all who in every place call on the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So Paul is saying this, here's who I'm writing to. I'm writing to the church. I'm writing to the body, but not just the body at Corinth, but whoever reads this. Whoever's part of the glorious church of Jesus Christ. So when I look at that and I say this is his primary audience, the audience is to the greater church, and then I look and see what he is saying in this text in 1 Corinthians later on, the next couple of chapters, he says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God?" You're not just a temple, but you're the temple. Wait a minute, there is no temple in Jerusalem anymore. So, but you're not just a temple, you're the temple. So I believe in the primary reference, of course we can also see it as the individual, but I believe that the primary reference here is to the body of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ was radically different from the religions of the day, and it's still radically different because it gives a provision for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, personal transformation. A personal future in the kingdom of God. You all have potential. You're an individual. God loves you individually. He has a personal plan for your life. Isn't that wonderful? But sometimes we have been, in this culture that we live in, are so individualistic. So, me, I do my thing. You do your thing. Don't interfere with what I'm doing. Don't interfere with what you're doing. We have become so individualistic that we forget that we are together. And that the New Testament church is very much a church of togetherness. That God speaks to the church. He speaks to you individually. Yes, we have that wonderful concept in the New Testament, but he also speaks primarily, first of all, to us as a body. And we're all too often in this culture, as I said, it's all about me. It's all about me. If I don't feel, If I don't experience, if I don't whatever, then I'm taking my marbles and I'm going somewhere else. It's not so much about what's good for the body. But Paul was all about what's good for the body. The body, the church, is a temple. We are building blocks. Brother Peter brought on to that And he made reference in the Old Testament. We are building blocks, and Christ is the cornerstone of this wonderful building, this precious jeweled institution called the Church of Jesus Christ. And in this institution, in this body, in this temple, the Spirit of God abides. So we have this biblical, what's called a hermeneutical principle of understanding. How do we look at Scripture? Whatever applies to the temple of the Old Testament applies to the church, and whatever applies to the church applies to the individual, and whatever applies to the individual applies to the church, and whatever applies to the church applies to the Old Testament. You hear what I'm saying? So just because it's referring, I think, leaning toward referring to the church, everything that refers to the church also refers to the individual. So therefore, if the church is the community of the Spirit, then you are an individual of the Spirit. But you are an individual of the Spirit because you're part of a community of the Spirit. Don't dissect yourself. Don't amputate yourself from the rest of the body. God desires to work together amongst us. All right, now let's read through it again. The purposes. Let's go through it again. Just next slide, if you could. Next slide, sorry. But let's read the same purposes and apply them to the house of God, apply them to the church. Well, I picked one. I had lots of pictures of us, okay? All right, so, you know, slightly prejudicial maybe in this, but this is where I'm coming from as pastor and one of the elders here. All right, the temple, the church of God. Can it be seen as a dwelling place? Does God? Does God abide amongst his people? Where two or three are gathered? Does God abide? Does he dwell amongst his people? Does he inhabit the praises of his people? Is there scripture to say that God speaks and lives in the collective? Yes, it certainly does. The church can be that. A place for the Ark of the Covenant. Well, we say we don't have the Ark of the Covenant anymore. In fact, we can't find it. It makes for good movies. You know, Indiana Jones trying to find the Ark of the Covenant. Where is it? I don't know. But is there a sign of the covenant amongst the body of Christ? Are the signs of the covenant amongst us? Yes, they are. God's deal with his elect people, with his chosen people, and his chosen people is the church. Is there signs? Absolutely. They are contained within the church. The sign and the manifestations of his covenant love is within the body of Jesus Christ. A place for sweet incense to be offered up. Praises unto God. Oh, the continual offering up that went forward in the temple. Is that to continually go up amongst the body of Christ? Absolutely. Taking this same, a place for burnt offerings. We're not talking about a potluck gone bad. Okay? A place for burnt offerings, meaning, you know, the sacrifice. Do we sacrifice? No, we don't sacrifice upon an altar where we offer up bulls and goats, but we do lay ourselves down on the altar and give ourselves as a sacrifice unto God. We sacrifice things. Yes, absolutely. The body of Christ is a sacrificial organization. Giving up, not just for Lent, but giving up for the glory of God. Laying down to the glory of God. Yes, sacrifice. Sacrifice of praise. That's in the Scripture. Is it to be a house of prayer? Was that just an Old Testament thing? Or is there New Testament in the body of Christ? Are we still to be? Is this primarily as what we call Harmony Church? Is it still got a primary appointment with God to be a place of prayer? Absolutely. Absolutely. What about a place of worship? Well, glory to God. Absolutely. A place of refuge from accusation or attack. Ooh, glory. That one gave me goosebumps. Yeah. It's okay. Holy Ghost goosebumps. autistic people take everything literally, so he's trying to picture goose bumps. Anyways, a place of refuge from accusation. Is this a safe place? Is the church a safe place? Or is it a dangerous place to come? If you got problems, if you are on a different social economic group, or if you're a different ethnic group, or you're a different group of any kind, or you're going through particular struggles, is this a safe place to come, or is this a dangerous place? The temple was to be a safe place, and the church is to be a safe place. And then this last one, a storage for weapons of warfare. Yeah, those of you that like your guns... Guns in church. Well, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal in the new covenant, but spiritual to the pulling down of strongholds. Has anybody brought their weapon to church today? Amen. Some of you have to hold up your phone, I understand. But, yeah, they can use that as a weapon, social media. But the Word of God. The Word of God, the prayer, all that goes on, spiritual warfare, dealing with the darkness, casting out of devils. This is a place of warfare. This is a place where our spiritual weaponry is stored up. Come to the house of God and be armed and dangerous. The Bible says that the role of the elders and the role of the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the pastors, teachers, the fivefold ministry, is to the equipping of the saints. You know that that word has sometimes been looked at as arming the saints? We are to be equipping the saints, arming the saints, getting them ready for the warfare that's going on, showing them how to use these tools, because the devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking whom he may devour, and we got the weaponry against him in the name of Jesus Christ. But what if you don't know how to use it? And so the house of God is a training place to how to use the weapons that God has stored up amongst his people. Your testimony is a weapon against the devil, is a weapon against the enemy, and you bring it to the house of God and say, this is what the Lord has done in my life, and it just really cuts through what the enemy's lies are speaking to somebody else in the house of God, because they go, yes, it's possible. Yeah, it's a place of storing up the weapons. All right. So when Paul gives a severe warning, and he says this, I want to look at this just for a minute. I know time is running, but when he says this of the church, he says, anybody that defiles the temple, I will destroy him. You know how I grew up in the conservative Baptist circles? You know how we interpreted this? If I have a cigarette, God's going to destroy you. If I have a beer, God's going to destroy you. If I do this or that, God's going to destroy you, because the interpretation was that defiling was taking something into this personal temple. But that's not what it is. God's not going to destroy you for having a cigarette. All right. That's right, brother. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. But I'll take them after the service, though. You can leave them right there. You know, their guilt and the shame and the stuff that has resulted because of that kind of thinking, because of misinterpreting certain texts of Scripture. He's referring to, listen, if somebody comes in to the church and brings division, if somebody comes into the body and brings a false teaching that causes young people to fall away from the truth, that's defiling the body. If somebody brings something that brings unbelief into the body of Christ, causing us not to believe, causing us not to take up the arms against the enemy, causing us to be defiled, then he says, listen, somebody does that, I'm going to destroy them. It's not about that personal struggles that you have. God's not going to destroy you. But there is a severe warning. He does love his church. And if you come to bring harm to His church, to His bride, His that He desires to be a pure and spotless bride, and you come to bring division and harm and jealousy and destruction and whatever it may be that brings division in the body of Christ, listen, you better watch out, because you've just made yourself an enemy of God. Because the bridegroom is jealous for the bride. Does that make any sense to you? Maybe it's a new revelation to you and you're saying, but I was taught. Okay, I know. That's good. I'm glad you were taught. So was I. So the temple in the Old Testament can be compared to the church in the New Testament, and Paul brought it one step further. Now, this was radical. And that's in where you get to chapter 6. See, in chapter 1, we have him addressing the whole church, and that's how I interpreted chapter 3. But when you get to chapter 6, he is very clearly talking to individual Christians. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, listen to this, because he doesn't say the temple, he says a temple. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20, get it underlined. It's good stuff in your Bible. This is where it does apply to us as individuals. He says this, or know ye not that your body is a temple? Who's he talking to? You and you and you and you and me. Okay? A temple of who? The Holy Spirit, which is in you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? The abiding and dwelling of the Spirit of the living God. What a privilege it is to be a Christian. And ye are not your own. Don't you? I love King James. When I quote certain scriptures, I got to do it in King Jamie. But you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. You see, this is how we treat our individual temples. We treat our individual temple special because it doesn't belong to you. It's not yours. You're leasing it. You're just using it. You're not even leasing it. It belongs to Jesus. He bought it. He paid the price for you. You belong to Him. The whole thing is His. Body, soul, and spirit when you come to Jesus Christ. It's not your own. And so you come to this. Does this fit? Does this fit? Now, can I apply this? You see, the same temple, the church, applies to that individual. The outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. We are body, we are soul, we are spirit. We are a walking, living example of Solomon's temple. So now let's read that initial thing way back in the Old Testament, and let's see if we can apply it to the individual bodies, the individual people that we are, the complicated. Some of you are very complicated people, but you know, we are very complicated, and yet we are very much in unity with God and the triune nature of Almighty God. A dwelling place for God. Are you a dwelling place for God? Did he not just say that you have the Holy Spirit within you? Okay. Are you a place, is there a sign of the covenant in you? The Bible says, I will take out the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. He says in the book of Jeremiah, I will give you a new covenant. It will be inside of you. He said, I will write my laws upon your heart. Are you a temple? Do you have the sign of the covenant living inside of you? Absolutely. A place for sweet incense. What did he not talk about the prayers of the saints? Did Paul not also say that we, the people of God, are to be a sweet smelling savor? A place for sacrifice. Oh, glory. Are we not called upon? Did he not say this? Our reasonable sacrifice is to give our lives to the Lord. Did the book of Romans, Paul not say that to us, that we need to lay our lives down as a reasonable sacrifice to Him? Did Peter not say that we are to be a sacrifice of praise? That goes to the next one, a house of prayer. Is this to be a house of prayer? A walking house of prayer? If you can begin to look at that Old Testament temple and begin to apply it to your own life. Yeah, I guess you could see it as the church, but you need to take it one step further, friends. You need to look at yourself. Are you a place of prayer? Does Jesus have to come and knock some stuff out with a whip chain of stuff and say, get out of that out of your life? because it's interfering with prayer. A place of worship. Didn't the Bible say, didn't even in the Old Testament, the psalmist, did he not say that the praises of God shall be continually upon my lips? A place of refuge, a sanctuary from accusation and attack. This, you know, maybe it gets a little harder to try to figure that out, but is this place here a place of safety? Is inside of here a place of safety? Is this a safe place for thoughts? Is this a safe place for belief? Is this a safe place? You know, the devil is accusing you of all kinds of things. Is this a safe place? Because inside of you, God is saying, and you're coming into agreement with Him, that He loves you and that He's forgiven you, even when everybody else points out your sin and your failures. Is this a safe place? Amen. And the last one, again, a storage place. I'm not talking about being able to arm yourself on the outside. A storage place for weapons of war, for an armory. Can you not see that this individual, that you are a dangerous weapon in the hands of Almighty God? Amen? Because you're armed and dangerous. Amen? Praise the Lord. You should be a place of, oh, I just love this so much. This beautiful temple, and God wants to clean it. God wants to clean this house. God wants to clean this individual. Yes, He wants to do something in the church. He wants to clean His church. Many places in the Scripture He talks about cleaning the house of God, cleaning the church, dealing with the church, cleaning out the junk out of the church. He wants to clean out the church and deal stuff. He wants to do stuff. That's not bringing division. That's not bringing jealousy. That's not bringing accusation. We're talking about the Spirit doing it, not us taking it. You know, Lord, the Lord has raised me up to point everybody's sin out. No. The Lord has raised me up to be a vessel that keeps the pastor humble. Amen. There's always someone. Might as well. You know, the Lord has raised me up to do that. You know, let the Lord do the Lord's work. And you do what He calls you to do. But what is it that has to be cleaned out? We always need spring cleaning. Amen. The church does. You know, we need to regularly say, Lord, what do we need to clean out? What do we need to do? What have we hoarded up and is of no use? You know, when we cleaned out our office and did the renovation of the office, you know, I brought 10 boxes, and I'm still filling up another one, of stuff that we don't use. Books and stuff that we really don't use, so we sent them overseas to churches that may use them. We get a lot of stuff. What do we need to clean out? But the things that we really want to clean out are the stuff that interferes with those lists. Okay, I know it's time's moving on. I just want to make this clear. What in our lives and what in the church interferes with a dwelling place of God? Place of the Ark of Covenant, the signs of the covenant, a place for sweet incense, a place of sacrifice, a house of prayer, a place of worship, a place of refuge from accusation, a storage place for the weapon of warfare. What is it that's cluttering our lives or cluttering the church? Where that if Jesus came into our own life today, and He's in our life, I realize this, or our church, and He said, listen, this has got to go, and if you won't do something about it, I'm going to knock it down. Twice Jesus had to do that. Some say three, depending on how you view the Scriptures, how you interpret Scripture. He did it at least twice. He went and He cleansed the temple. Why? Because the outer court was being cluttered with junk. It was cluttered up, and you say, well, what was wrong with this? What was wrong with them doing business? What was wrong with the money changers? What was wrong with the selling of all this? The thing was not so much that they were selling stuff. You know, I grew up, Grandpa said, well, this church, like he was chairman of the deacon's board, will never have a bake sale. Because we will never sell things in the house of God. And that has gone into me, and I don't like it. I really don't like
Anything being sold in the house of God, it rings in my ears. I don't like anything being sold. It's just, unless it's ministry type of things. But the point is, they were getting in the way of the real purpose. He cleansed the temple, not exactly so much for what they were doing, but what by their doing was preventing what was supposed to be taking place, and that was a house of prayer for all people. The outer court was the court of the Gentiles. That's where the world was to come. The world was to come and have that space to hear. The Gentiles could not enter into the temple, but they could get close. They could be in the outer court. They could hear what was going on inside. They could smell the sacrifice. They could smell the sweet incense. They could get close enough that they could get a taste of the glory. They knew that behind those doors was the presence of Almighty God, and it got them in this far so that they could maybe convert and become part of the people of Israel. But the people of God had forgotten about what was the purpose, and so they made this. They said, hey, we got all this space in the front of the temple. We got all this outer court space here. Let's use it for something good. Let's use it for some kind of purpose. Let's fill it with all this kind of stuff. And Jesus, who understood the original purpose of the original design of the original temple, he said, no, this is not right. Get it out of here, because it's hindering the purpose. What, friends, in your life today is cluttering up your life and preventing you from fulfilling God's purpose? I need to close. Go to the last slide. Is there something in your life, sister, if you could come now, that helps? Is there something in your life that you're just being a hoarder? I'm talking about emotional things you're allowing anger, you're allowing jealousies, you're allowing stuff. It could be a physical thing. It's something that's taking up your time. It's something that's squandering your money. It's something that's hindering you from being what God wants you to be. Can we just focus on that for a minute? Can you just let the Spirit of the living God reveal to you? Lord, show me. I want to be a temple. I am a temple. I am a temple. Would you say that after me? I am a temple. Say it again. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's say it again. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I just pray, Lord, you'd reveal to us what is there that does not belong in God's house. Spirit of God, show us today, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm just going to call the praise team to come up, or a couple to come up. I'm just going to release you now. I'm going to give a word of benediction. If there is something that God is speaking, Jesus is here, and don't be afraid. If you want to come up for prayer of anything, that's fine. Or you're going to pray right where you're seated, that's fine. But let the Lord do the house cleaning. If you need prayer, but you maybe just need to sit and say, Lord, I'm just going to sit for a minute while they're playing or singing something, and I'm just going to say, Lord, come in and cleanse. Just take that away. In Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you, causing His face to shine radiantly upon you, lifting up His countenance before you and giving you His shalom and His grace.